Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, live life forevermore. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. And behold, a lawyer stood up to him to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Good morning and welcome to the fifth Wednesday of Eastertide. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Walkersville, Maryland. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 133, Leviticus 19, and Luke 10. Before I get into the readings, I wanted to point out that we have one more Sunday in Eastertide. And the final Sunday of Eastertide, right before Pentecost Sunday, I will be preaching at New Market United Methodist Church in just outside Frederick. It'll be the seventh Sunday of Easter on May 29th. So hopefully later that day, I'll be able to post the sermon to this podcast feed. So be on the lookout for that, May 29th, the seventh and final Sunday of Eastertide. In this morning's readings, Leviticus 19, it's not the Ten Commandments, it's not the tablets of the law, but it's something very much like it. It's a list of things that Israel is supposed to, refrain from. Some of them are kind of obvious, like don't curse the deaf or put anything before somebody who's blind. And some of them are not as obvious or universal. You should not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. That one is always kind of, maybe the only place it turns up, but throughout the Bible, there appears to be what scholars and theologians call God's preferential option for the poor. That God hears the poor more than God does others. And this one line is a reminder that even that might be, idolatry. Don't defer to the poor in court, but also obviously don't defer to the great. Righteousness shall always be, our first step forward, our strongest foot to stand on. And not all people who are poor necessarily also good characters. They are more likely to be mistreated, and that is a motivating factor for God. But not everybody who's mistreated is necessarily mistreated in the way that it might appear. And here's where I bring in the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, where I've been watching it only on social media. I think I stumbled upon it before it became a big court trial, back when it was like Reddit and Twitter, I think, kind of had a whole trending thing with Depp's followers. But anyway, what strikes me with the trial is that, you know, we hear, you know, believe women, and there's been a really amazing and important and necessary cultural shift with Me Too, where, you know, so many things that go unsaid are finally coming to the surface, and have come to the surface, and it has forced our society to reckon with the fact that we don't always believe women, that there are systems in place that disenfranchise them, that make them not necessarily economically poor, but spiritually poor by depriving them of their human dignity. And in the trial, some of the transcripts and the recordings, one of the things that stands out to me is that the woman who, and women are far more likely to be abused in an intimate relationship than men, and the woman in the case, this case, Amber Heard, seems to be aware of that. And she argues about, you know, whether she's hitting someone or punching someone. And she kind of goads her partner, who is the man, you know, I dare you to tell them that you're a victim of abuse. Like, she is aware of the cultural, you know, Kool-Aid, and is hoping that this shift will work in her favor. And she has made allegations of abuse, and then she wrote about it in a major newspaper. And this particular trial is about whether or not it was defamation. But the story behind that is what's so interesting. I say this because I was married for 13 months when I was 27, I think. And the woman that I was married to, it was kind of a whirlwind romance, and I wasn't young, but I was inexperienced in love. And a lot of the mannerisms the perspective, the place from which Amber Heard speaks feels so similar to this woman that I was married to for a little while, for a year or so. And I won't say much more than that, but it strikes me that power and its abuse is, doesn't discriminate. Like, anybody who has power, even if you might, through, you know, other aspects of your identity, might be deprived of power, what power you do have is still yours to have and to wield, and you can abuse it. I suspect there's probably abuse in both directions, in the case of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. But I cannot get away from the appearance and my belief that what is significant about that example is that the person who would have had less power in that relationship, statistically, we'll say, was aware of that and tries to use that fact in their favor. And to bring us back to the gospel reading, the reading from Leviticus, I believe that God hears the poor and the oppressed and the subjugated and the marginalized and the endangered and the enslaved. But that should not be an idol either, that we look past all the other aspects of who they are and how they behave and boil them down to this one thing that makes them, you know, that becomes the central defining characteristic of their identity. And that can work both ways. If you see someone who has less means as you as poor, and you respond and treat that person as they are poor, and you forget that they are other things. They're educated. They volunteer in their community. I don't know, whatever. That to reduce someone down to one part of their identity and to use that as the determining factor for how you treat them or how society treats them is wrong in both directions. Whether you put them up on a pedestal, like you do soldiers, like our society does soldiers, or you use that one animating feature to subjugate them or dehumanize them as though they are, you know, less than. And this happens when people assume that all soldiers are killers, and they think that they are then morally broken or reprehensible. And so I do believe that God has a preference for the poor, but not because they are poor, but because the circumstances that makes them poor, and I also think the likelihood that those circumstances will create people who are humble, who stick together, who watch out for one another, and who appreciate justice when they can get it. Not everybody who's poor has those characteristics, but it's more likely. But we shouldn't reduce anybody to one thing, or even a small grouping of things, and then let that one or small number of things drown out the rich complexity of even an individual person. And so we shall not show partiality to the poor just because they're poor, but because of the thing that poverty is and how that affects people. A prayer for the poor and neglected from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it would be easy for us to forget. The homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Grant this, Father, for the love of your Son, who for our sake became poor, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/PewPewHQ. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.